Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Exodus 20 again. If you're here, I know I sound like a broken record. As a matter of fact, I wonder, you know, when you go online and you're trying to figure out, people are like trying to figure out different messages, they all start the same. If you have your Bibles this morning, open them up to, you know, especially lately, Exodus 20. It's always the same. But it's because we're in the middle of a series. If you've been with us, you know that we're in a series titled OSX Commandments. The operating system for the Christian life. And it's obviously a series that's taking us through the Ten Commandments. And as we've been walking through these commands, we've talked about the fact that these commands aren't just a bunch of rules and regulations, all right? But they are a testament of God's love for each of us. He gave them to us because He loves us. And He wants to protect us from the hurts and pains that happen when we fail to follow out these commandments. He knows what failing to do these things will bring upon our lives. And so 4 weeks ago, we started with the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And we talked about the fact that God wants to be number one. He wants to be first in our life. And it's because He created us. It's because He loves us. And it's because He knows that there isn't anyone or anything out there that we seek that can care for us the way He does. Then next, we talked about the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself any idols or images. And we talked that week about how we create in our own minds these idols or images of who we want God to be. The God we want to serve, a God that would do this, a God that would do that, and this mindset that we have with that. And in doing so, what do? We end up putting God into a box. We limit who He is. We limit what He's capable of doing. And that becomes the image that we worship instead of God and who He truly is. And then next we tackle the third commandment. It says, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And we talked about the importance of not only how we speak the name of the Lord, because that's how we all read that, right? But also how we carry His name. As Christians, we carry the name of Jesus. As Christians, we carry the name of Christ. Christians, have you ever noticed, what does it start with? Christ, right? We carry the name of Christ. We carry His name. And when we don't carry His name well, when we don't represent Him well, then we're literally taking His name in vain. And then last week, we unpacked the fourth commandment to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And we talked about really our need for rest. And not just any kind of rest, but where we're having a time, whether that's a Saturday or a Sunday or a Monday or whatever day, that we're having a time where we're resting in the Lord, where we're spending time with Him regularly to refresh and recharge. Well, this week, now we're going to take a look at the fifth commandment, and it's found in verse 12 of Exodus 20. And so that's our script for this morning, just one verse. That I'm going to read to you. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along here. Exodus 20:12 says this, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Simple command, honor your father and mother. Now, this commandment takes us in a completely different direction than the first four commandments did. We talked a little bit about this last week, how the first four commandments are all really about our relationship with God, right? They reflect how we relate to God, our relationship with Him. And now this fifth commandment and each of those remaining, the remaining six really here, they kind of take us in a different direction. The next six commands are all about our relationship with others, how we relate to the people around us. And it's interesting because the first one starts with those that are closest to us. It starts with our family. And you see, I believe that in many ways, how we relate to others is a direct reflection of how we relate to our family. So in many ways, our future really kind of hinges on how we handle this commandment. Our relationships hinge on how we handle this commandment. You see, notice that this command, it's the only one of the Ten Commandments that actually has a promise attached, right? It says, honor your father and mother so that, and now here's the promise, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You see, here again, I really believe we see God's love in this commandment. You say, well, how is this about God's love for us? We see His love for us in this commandment. Because why? Why is it that we should honor our father and mother? So that we might live a long life with Him. So we don't become weighed down or taken captive by bitterness or things in life of how we're hurt. So that we can enjoy the goodness of God throughout our lives. The lives that extend beyond our family, beyond that, right? The Lord is saying that if we obey His commands and honor our father and mother, then things will ultimately go well for us in the end, right? If we do these things, He will extend our lives. However, if we fail to live this command, it will affect the whole fabric of our lives. So as we process this command, I think there are a couple questions that this command generates. And I think obviously is that why. Why really? Why should I honor my father and mother? Well, here's the thing. As I said, God gave us these commands because He loves us. And the reason He gave us this command is because He wants to protect us from the destructive thoughts and attitudes that can happen if we don't learn this. And I believe if we can settle this matter of learning to honor our parents now in our lives, then we can be different people as we move ahead. You see, a son or daughter who forgives from the heart can be a different kind of parent to his or her own children, right? We can be honorable parents, right? Parents free from bitterness, free from the baggage that so many people carry throughout their lives from their parents. We can become the type of parents or just people in general that God can use in amazing ways because we're not weighed down by the pains and the hurts of our past. Now, as I say this, I don't think that God closes His eyes or ignores the pain that parents sometimes inflict on their children. So I'm not saying, you know, that there isn't pain or hurt that you've experienced. And I really believe the reality is that God places great value on the home and holds mothers and fathers accountable for their parenting. As a matter of fact, let me read a scripture to you, okay? This is found in Matthew 18:6. It says this: "But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be thrown in the depths of the sea." Wow. Makes you think a little bit different about how you parent, doesn't it? It's like, oh, wow. How do I make sure I'm not doing these things, not causing these little ones to sin? How do I love them the way I should love them? Doesn't it? When you read that, it's like, that's a powerful, powerful statement. It's a scary thing. But here's the thing. The Lord understands the hurt and pain many children endure, and He takes it very seriously. He knows that when a person is abused or neglected at home, that it affects them greatly. But He tells us to honor our parents because He knows that in the long run, it will help us. It will benefit us. It will enable us to become the man or woman that God has called us to be. And it will help us in our relationship with our own kids and even our relationship with others throughout our lives. As I mentioned already, all of our relationships hinge on how we handle this commandment, how we deal with family. So as we understand why God wants us to do it, the next question then is how, right? How do we do this? How do we honor our father and our mother? Well, as I studied this commandment, just in the process, which this was a difficult one for me, and I can go into that later, I won't take all the details, but as I studied, there were three ways in particular that God began to show me how we honor our parents. And I want to share those three ways with you this morning. The first way that I believe that we can honor our parents is, number one, by obeying them, right? Now, I want to preface this by saying that this one really is directed towards children, right? Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Okay? Now, it's directed toward children. There is a point in our lives where we cross from childhood into adulthood, right? Where we leave our mother and father and we become our own person, whether that's just on our own or whether that's cleaving to someone else. But we become our own person, where we begin to make our own decisions in life, right? Now, let me say this, though. That doesn't mean that we can't still take advice from our parents, right? Many of them, "Oh, forget it, I'm done. I can make my own decisions. My way is the right way," right? We can still take advice, and we should. We should take advice from our parents. They may have some wisdom and experience that will do us well. I still, at times, will talk to my mom or my dad at times about things because they've lived longer than I have. They've experienced more than I have. They have some wisdom that I don't have, all right? Don't ever tell my dad I said that, okay? Because I don't say that face-to-face to him, all right? But I know it's true. So we take advice, but obedience itself is the responsibility of a child, all right? As a child, we're told in the Scriptures to obey our parents. And this is was a difficult one, I should say, right? For many of us when we were young, I know that I wasn't the perfect child. I know you're like, "Oh, what? Are you serious, Darren? You just seem like you were the perfect child," right? Isn't that how I seem? No? Okay. You guys already know me too well. I know it's hard to believe that I wasn't just this perfect child. The thing was, I think my parents thought I was just good at hiding it, all right? But here's the thing. The way we respond to our parents is often the way we then will later respond to God. And God is our authority. He's the one in charge. And so as kids, our parents are the authority that God put in charge of us. So as we learn to obey our parents, we learn how to obey God. Now again, your parents may not be perfect. They may make mistakes, okay? And some of your kids are like, "Yeah, they do," right? You know, those times my kids mess up or that your parents have messed up. They may make mistakes, all of us do, but the reality is, unless what they're asking you to do is harmful to you or harmful to others, or if it's completely opposite of the Word of God, then we are directed to obey them. And I'm not going to go into this too deep. As a youth pastor, this is the one I would have focused on, right? As I'm sitting talking to youth and all those things. But we are called to obey our parents, and obeying them will honor them. So now, as we're grown up, as we're crossed in from childhood to adulthood, how do we honor our parents? I think the second way that I think we honor our parents is this. It's by loving them. By loving them. Let me share this funny story with you. On our 60th birthday, a woman decided to prepare her last will and testament. She went to her lawyer to make two final requests. First, she insisted that she would be cremated. Secondly, she requested that her ashes be scattered over the mall. "Why over the mall?" asked the lawyer. "Well, because then I know my daughters will finally come and visit me." Wow, right? Ooh, ouch. I've heard it said that love is spelled best T-I-M-E. For those that have trouble with that, that's time, okay? Love is spelled best by time. When you love someone, what? You spend time with them. And the reality is, finding time to spend with those we love isn't always easy, right? We've talked about this last week. We live in this fast-paced world, going, going, going. But oftentimes, to truly love someone, we have to be willing to sacrifice. We have to be willing to take time. How often do we take time to honor our parents in this way, to make sure that we're spending time with them? Now, for some of us, our parents may live far away. We're like, "Well, I can't, you know, hop on a plane and go to Florida or go to here or go to there," right? You know, although it might not be bad if every once in a while you did do that, right? What says that I love you more than hopping on a plane to come and see you? But in reality, we can't just continue to go hop on planes unless you have your own private jet or something like that. And if you do in here, Never mind, I won't even go there. Never mind. But it may be impossible for you to go literally spend physical time, but you know, what else can we do to let them know that we love them? Cell phones are pretty regular nowadays, right? We can pick up a phone and call and talk to them. Or how about, and if you're like, I don't even know how to operate this phone, well, you know what? A nice old-fashioned letter isn't too bad either, or email or something, you know, where you just let them know that you love them. You know, just hearing or reading the words, I love you, can make all the difference in the world, especially for a parent, right? And vice versa, our kids need to hear that too. We need to hear those words, I love you. Because those three simple words, I think, are three of the most potent words in the English language, when they're used right, right? You know, I love you, man, I love you, you know, or whatever. I mean, it's just that. But when we say it in the way we really mean it, when we say it to a parent, when we say it to a brother or a sister, we say, I love you, they're three of the most potent words in our English language. How well are we doing at showing that to our parents? How well are we honoring them in this way? Now, let me be honest. Some of you are sitting there going, yeah, right. You don't know my parents, right? The last thing I want to do is spend time with them, right? The last thing I want to do is say anything nice to them, much less tell them that I love them, right? And we kind of laugh, but it's true. And this was the hardest part for me this week as I processed through this, because my heart aches for those that feel these things when it comes to their parents, because I don't understand it. I had the most amazing parents in the world that loved me, that taught me about the Lord, that continually said, I loved you, and cared for me. And so my heart aches when I think that there are people that don't have that, that didn't have that relationship with their parents. And I wish everyone could have the kind of relationship that I have with my parents. But I know that I know that's impossible. I know that we live in a fallen world, and I know that we make poor decisions, and I know that some of us grew up hurt by our parents. But here's the thing, I believe, and this is the hard part for me as I process this, because it's easy for me to say this as someone who had great parents. But God knew, He knew these things would happen when He gave us these commands. He knew that we would have a fallen world. He knew that the world was already broken. He knew that there would be parents that would violate their children. He knew that there would be parents that would mess up and that would hurt their kids. But He still, knowing that, He gave us these commands. He knew that they would fail and hurt us. But as I continue to study these commands, I'm realizing that regardless of how difficult these commands are that God gives us, we still need to obey them. We still need to honor our parents. Because this command will ultimately affect all of our relationships. If we can't learn to honor our parents, how are we going to honor everyone else that we know in our other relationships? And as hard as it may be, He still wants us to love and honor our parents, even if they're not people that we really want to love. Listen to this scripture found in Matthew 5, verses 44 through 48. It says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good. It's no different, right? And He sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And He's bringing in the tax collectors. These are the sinners of sinners in this time. Well, they love those that love them. They love those that are easy to love. What different are you than them? Verse 47, and if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? And then verse 48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And what does that mean for us? I think the one thing we have to remember as we walk through these commands is that these commands, they weren't given to the world. We talked about this last week. They were given to God's people, right? These commands were given to those who carry the name of God, or in today, carry the name of Christ. As I said, the title of this sermon, it's OSX Commandments, the operating system for what? The Christian life. And as Christians, God is calling us to be different, to be set apart from the world. Everybody loves those that love them, but God says, no, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to rise above, to be people who love even those that are difficult to love. To love even your enemies. And maybe for some of us, that's our parents. Maybe that's the enemy to us. They've hurt us. They've wronged us. But God desires that we learn to love them. Now, we don't have to love what they do or love what they represent, okay? But when we learn to love them the way God loves them, it affects us. Because in doing so, we honor them and we honor God as well. That's what living these commandments is all about. It really comes down to, as we honor them, we're honoring God. What you do for the least of these, you do it for me. And that's what it's about, learning how to honor God in this process. And I'm not saying it's easy. Again, this is the part I struggled with. Because it's easy for me. This is probably the most easy commandment there is, because I had great parents that I love and I want to honor them. But I know for many people that's not the case. And I know it's not an easy thing, but it's learning. How do we love our enemies? How do we love those that treat us wrongly? How do we love them in the way that God wants us to? And it doesn't mean you have to go up, I love you, and hug and all that kind of stuff. But it's learning to love them. And this next one will kind of help us carry that out. And that is, the third thing is honoring our parents. We do that by forgiving them. By learning how to forgive them. You know, many of us, again, have not had the greatest parents in the world. You may have been hurt. You may even have been abused or neglected because of their selfishness. It really is. We're human, and it's our own selfishness that leads us to those things. But one of the greatest ways that we can honor them in the midst of their failures is by learning how to forgive them. To forgive means to let go, right? To let go of those things. And I'm not going to break into song right now, okay? Let it go or anything like that. But I know some of you are out there, as soon as you hear those words, let go, you think of the song. But it is. It's letting it go. Letting go of those things. You see, we're like, how can I do that? Well, we need to look to our Savior, because Jesus, He knew what it meant to be hurt. He knew what it meant to be abused. He knew what it meant to have loving words thrown right back in your face. He knew how it felt to be betrayed and abandoned by someone close to Him. Someone that was in His inner circle, even family members that rejected Him. Yet what did He do? He forgave. Right, that's that moment on the cross. It's like, wow, people are beating Him and mocking Him, and He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now here's the thing. When it comes to true forgiveness, you need to know this, because I don't want to paint this picture for you that, oh, you forgive, everything's perfect, easy, whatever. No, because let me be honest with you. When it comes to true forgiveness, the innocent party almost always pays. You know, the one who forgives, the one who's been offended, is usually the one who ends up paying the greatest price in that situation. But in the kingdom of God, you may not understand it here on this earth, but in the end, it's a price worth pain. It was worth it for Jesus to pay it for us. In the end, even though the price may be steep, the one who forgives will experience the blessing of God on their life. And there is no value that we can place upon that blessing. Now, your parents may be guilt-ridden and full of remorse and regret. Or they may be oblivious to your pain and extremely stubborn and not even really care. But either way, for the individual, for us as followers of Christ, forgiveness is the key. It may or may not change their lives, but it will change yours. The freedom, the release that comes from learning to forgive. Plus, let me read for you Matthew 6, verses 14 or 15. This is a scary scripture. If we read the scripture and we believe it to be true, this is a scary scripture. This is what it says, Matthew 6, 14 through 15. It says, "For if you forgive men," this is God talking, "when they sin against you," or Jesus talking, excuse me, "your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So if we forgive, God will forgive. Because we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of the Lord. And if we can forgive those that hurt us, God will forgive our sins. But listen to verse 15. "But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This is one of the scariest scriptures for me in the Bible. Because we're like, yeah, I want to accept God's grace and forgiveness. And yeah, I don't have to forgive them. Well, back up. Because if you want to experience God's grace and forgiveness in your life, you have to be willing to forgive those that have wronged us. You see, we may not have been there 2,000 years ago, but it's our sin that put Jesus on the cross. We're as guilty as anybody else. We have to be forgiven of our sin, and it comes through Jesus, but we have to learn to forgive others. When we forgive, then we're able to walk in God's grace and forgiveness in our life. And as we forgive our parents, we honor them. And in fulfilling this fifth commandment, we get the promise. It comes with the promise, right? When we honor them in this, that we may live long in the land the Lord our God has given us. Now, what does that mean, right? Because we're like, well, does that mean like if I honor my parents, I'm going to be like one of the oldest guys ever to walk the face of this earth and I'm going to make it to my 90s or 100s? I don't think that's what this verse is saying. As a matter of fact, I know it can't be, because I know that there are people that have honored their parents and that have died young. And there are people that have been horrible that did not honor their parents and lived to be old. So it's not talking about, I don't believe it's talking about just the physical life here. Now, I do believe the more we honor and do, we experience blessed life here on this earth, right? It's kind of this, the thought that came to my mind is, you know, I recently have gone to the doctor. You may not have noticed I've lost 30 pounds, okay, and I'm doing better, all right? And the doctor kind of challenged me on some health things. And she just basically said, you know, if you start eating healthier, whatever, there's a chance that you'll live longer, right? Now, does that mean, oh, it's guaranteed. If I eat healthier, whatever, oh, I'm definitely going to live. No, I could be as healthy. I know people that run and are healthy and whatever, and at 45 years old, die of a heart attack, okay? So it doesn't guarantee me, but in doing those things, I am healthier, I feel better. And the same thing in our relationship with the Lord, that as we are doing what God's called us to do, we're going to experience greater physical, spiritual health in the Lord. Now, does that mean we're going to live long? No, not necessarily, okay? I don't think that's what this is specifically talking about. And it goes back to, for me, is it goes back to this command was given to the Israelites, right? As they were on their way to what? The promised land. It says, the land that I am giving you. And it's referencing the promised land that he had for the Israelites. Well, what's the promised land that he has for us? Now, I believe that we can experience a promised land here on this earth. But I really think it's the bigger picture, that it's heaven. It's eternity with Him. I believe this promise is about us living long lives with the Lord. When we obey His commands, when we do the things that He's called us to do, we get to spend eternity with the Father. Eternity, that's long. That's a long life with Him in the land that He has for us. I believe that's what all these commandments are about. Us learning how to walk out His command, to live the way He's called us to live, so that we can ultimately be with Him. That's His desire. That's why He gave us these commandments, because He loves us. And He wants to spend eternity with everyone that wants to be with Him. And that's what this is about. It's a difficult one at times for some of us. For some of us, this is an easy one, to honor our parents. But again, it's a command that God's called us to do. And however difficult or hard it may be for you, we have to learn to walk this out. And as we do, we will experience the blessings and joys from the Lord. Doesn't mean all of a sudden life will be perfect, but we can experience His peace in the midst of the storms and difficulties that we walk. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for just Your Word, Lord. We thank You how You speak to us continually as we open Your Word. And I pray that You help us to continue to do that, Lord, not just here on Sundays, but that we ourselves would regularly be diving into Your Word, allowing You to speak life to us each and every day, Lord, because that's what Your Word is. It's life. These commandments, Lord, they're not death. So many people, they see them as these rules and regulations that just ruin things. But Lord, they are life to each and every one of us as we learn to live out the commands that You've called us to live, as hard as they are, Lord, as much as it means rising above the things of this world, to live the life that You've called us to live, to be different than the rest of the world, Lord. As hard and as difficult as that is, Lord, it means that we get to experience, Lord, You forever and ever, Lord, that we get to experience Your joy, Your peace, Your grace, Your mercy on this earth and in the life to come. And Lord, that's what it's about. May we be people who are seeking You. May we be people who are doing our best to live out Your commands, Lord. And when we fail, Lord, not to hide our head in shame, but Lord, to pick ourselves up, to dust ourselves off, to seek Your grace and forgiveness, and to move forward, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray that You be with each of us, Lord, this week, as You allow this message to speak to our hearts, Lord, especially those who have the difficult situations of how do I learn to love someone that's difficult to love? How do I forgive someone that's hurt me so deeply, Lord? That You would just be gracious with us, Lord, but help us to work towards being people that truly can honor our father and mother, even if they aren't worthy of that in our minds or in our opinion, Lord, but that we can do it because You've asked us to, and what we do to the least of these, we've done for You. That's what it's about, Lord. May we see beyond the surface of this world and see into the eternity that we have for You. We thank You and we praise You for these things. We just give them to You in Jesus' name. Amen.